Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. Today we're going to talk about a beautiful passage here from 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and 4 that were given in the reading today, talking about the glory of God and what the difference between the Old Testament experience of Moses, who gazed upon the Lord, was allowed to look upon the Lord, and he would come from the tent and radiating the glory there in the Old Covenant as God is drawing Moses closer to him. But he veiled his face. At a certain point, they'd said, the way some people interpret why he veiled his face was because that glory would fade. This is what Paul is talking about in the passages we'll be looking at today. And that is a sign from Paul's perspective that the Old Covenant was fading to give way to the new covenant and the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ that will never fade. Peter talks about the same kind of thing in the beginning of his first letter. We're born anew to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance which is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, and it's kept in heaven for you. What is that inheritance? It's the sharing in the glory of God. Such a beautiful, beautiful insight. So here's the reading from today. It says, "Brothers and sisters, to this day, whenever Moses is read, the veil lies over the hearts of the children of Israel. But whenever a person turns to the Lord, the veil is removed." So what Jesus wants to do is give us a new heart. Remember the prophetic words of the prophets of Israel? God was going to take out a stony heart. And it wasn't just the law that was written on tablets of stone, which is what was received in the Old Covenant, was the revelation of God, but it was pointing to something different. And the new law, the work of Jesus in his passion, death, resurrection, ascension into glory, and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit is through the Holy Spirit. He gives us the new law. With the new law is what? It's the love of God. It's the very love between the Father and the Son, who is the Holy Spirit. And that presence, indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit, gives us a power and a capacity now and a slowly transforming heart, turning a heart of stone to a heart of flesh, like the prophets told us, that heart of flesh is to love what God loves, to love the Father the way the Father loves, the Son loves the Father, and love the Son the way the Father loves the Son, to love our neighbor the way the Lord loves our neighbor. And it really is transforming reality and power within us because the person of the Holy Spirit has made his home in us. And that glory, it's a sign of the presence of the glory of God and the glory that we receive. It goes on to say, now the next verse, "Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom." It's another beautiful passage from Paul, kind of related to this, where Paul would say, no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Now, you could say, well, anybody can say those words, right? Paul's talking about like a confession, a proclamation, a bold conviction that Jesus Christ is Lord. He said, nobody can say that without the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is the one who reveals Jesus Christ as Lord. The Holy Spirit is the one who gives us faith conviction. The Holy Spirit is the one who gives us experiential knowledge of the glory and majesty of Jesus, that gives us a living conviction that we call faith. Faith and hope together. "Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom." So the law that Moses brought forward, truly the law of God, Paul will say later, that law which was meant for our good led us to condemnation. Why? Because the law, the heart of the law, love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, as it shines into the sin-sick condition of the human heart, it shows everybody, no one loves God with all their heart, all their soul, all their mind, and all their strength. This is the condition of the human heart. So Paul said, this is why the law, which was meant for good, ends up condemning us, because the light shines in our heart and it exposes our attachment to sin and our need for salvation. And Jesus comes to make that possible. And what we need, friends, always remember, in the Christian life, what we need is not just more clarity about the law, or it's not, again, not we're not living in a moral system, or we're trying to strive to just be good, and our goodness is going to get us to where we're supposed to be. The fundamental basis of the Christian life is new life in the Spirit. It's the gift of the Holy Spirit. Jesus went through all of what he went through so that we could become, again, temples of the Holy Spirit, and now living a new way of life. And so the Spirit in us begins to lead and do his work of transformation in us, so that hearts of stone, sin-sick hearts that Jesus identified, that are filled with lust and anger and bitterness and rivalry and strife and unforgiveness, the Holy Spirit begins to heal the human heart and leads us into freedom. And instead of the heart of flesh that wants its own way and has a hard time resisting the temptations of sin, is now being transformed into a heart that's animated by the Spirit. Paul will say later that if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, that is the flesh, you will live. But if you continue to yield yourself to the deeds of the flesh, the temptations of the flesh, you'll die. And so Paul's saying we're being brought now to spiritual life, spiritual transformation. This means it's happening because we're united to Christ. It's happening. He's doing his work in us. And then slowly what gets produced in us is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, the fruits of the Spirit, the fruits of living with the Spirit. And so Jesus said at one point, remember in John's gospel, you have not chosen me, but I've chosen you. I've chosen you to bear fruit. And this is the kind of fruit that we bear if we're walking with Jesus and we're saying yes to the Holy Spirit, living in communion with the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in the church, saying yes to the conduits of grace that we're given, living by the Word of God, but mostly knowing that the Spirit of God lives in us and we have this astounding relationship with the Holy Spirit who wants to form us more fully every day into the image of the beloved Son of God. That's the freedom they're talking about. Paul goes on and says, all of us gazing with unveiled face on the glory of the Lord are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory as from the Lord who is the Spirit. The Spirit gives us revelation. We've talked about this many times. The Catechism has some wonderful, wonderful passages that help us understand what's being said here. Paragraph 690, Jesus is Christ, which means he's anointed because the Spirit is his anointing. Christ means anointed. We're talking about anointed with the Holy Spirit. The Spirit is his anointing, and everything that occurs from the incarnation and derives from this fullness, that is the fullness of the Spirit and anointing that's on the person of Jesus. When Christ is finally glorified, he can in turn send the Spirit from his place with the Father to those who believe in him. That's what Paul's talking about here. Brothers and sisters who are believing in him, they're experiencing this grace, this anointing, this new life, this transformation. He said he can in turn send the Spirit from his place with the Father to those who believe in him. He communicates to them his glory. And that glory is the Holy Spirit who glorifies them. The same one who glorifies Jesus glorifies us. So this is a reality that is actually happening in us. And to walk by the Spirit means to be in tune with what God is doing. And this is what God's doing in us. And it's so easy for people to just not even be aware of it, that Jesus said, I'm with you always. And he's with us how? By the presence of the Holy Spirit. He's shepherding us. And he wants us to abide in him. He said, what does abiding mean? Abiding means knowing this stuff is happening in me. His promises are for me. This transformation is what he desires for me. It's his plan for my life. And he's present to me if I'm seeking him, if I'm thirsting after him, if I'm reading his word, as I'm praying, talking to others, sharing faith, engaging his mission, as I'm doing these things, he brings about this transformation in my life. The paragraph here in 2 Corinthians 3 and 4 continues. Therefore, since we have this ministry through the mercy shown us, that is the mercy of what? Preaching the gospel, bringing people into this relationship with Christ in the Spirit. He said, we have this ministry of preaching and we are not discouraged. Even though our gospel is veiled, it is veiled for those who are perishing. Kind of going back to the veiling. Who's seeing the glory? The glory of God. How do we see the glory of God? Even the folks in the Old Testament, Jewish people, don't see the glory of the new covenant that's revealed fully in Jesus. Some do, because they've come to know him. But Paul is saying, even though our gospel is veiled, it is veiled for those who are perishing, in whose case the God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers. Now Paul is talking about the spiritual warfare that's in the world. The devil's strategy is to blind us. And he blinds us by blinding us to the truth that comes to us in the gospel, by distracting us to try to keep us from burrowing down, to dial in, to get focused on this and to understand what's happening, to begin to receive it. But they're blinded. We don't need this. I want to pursue what I want to pursue. And they don't hear it. And they're blinded. The devil is the one that Paul is trying to make us understand that there's spiritual combat here. And it's a spiritual battle at the fundamental core of our lives. We might be thinking we're choosing freely and making our own path and following our own bliss and defining our own life, and we're free to do whatever. Well, when you do that, the devil's happy to just keep patting you on the back and keep giving you bennies so that you just keep going, because he doesn't want you to be aware of what's really going on, which is he's doing everything he can to blind you, to kill any desire you might have, and to lead you in a direction where you probably won't hear the gospel. And it's the gospel that penetrates the veil that Paul's referring to here, which is a blindness. Again, and even though our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, in whose case the God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers. Why did he blind it? So they do not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. The gospel is the good news about Jesus. What is the good news about Jesus? He's risen from the dead. He's ascended to the right hand of the Father. The new humanity, the new creation has begun in him. The glory of God is now present in Mary's son, Jesus, who's the Lord of all, the head of the new race of people. He's the very image of God. So then Paul says, for we do not preach ourselves, but we preach Jesus Christ as Lord. This is the central proclamation of the life of the church. And ourselves as your slaves for Jesus' sake. So Paul's saying, we're a servant to the Lord. And that's what we proclaim to you so that you can be free. This next line is very beautiful. For God who said, quote, let light shine out of darkness, that came in the book of Genesis, right? When light came into creation. For God who said, let light shine out of darkness, has shone in our hearts to bring the light of the knowledge of the glory of God on the face of Jesus Christ. I want to encourage you, brothers and sisters, to take that passage up. That's 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse, let's say, 6 in particular. Just meditate on this last part. This is verse 6. It's God the Father's plan to let the light of his Son, the glory that's in him, that shines on his face, penetrate the darkness of our hearts and minds. We'll talk about this more tomorrow. This is an amazing passage. Have a blessed day, and may the glory of God shine upon you.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Does God Judge? Wow, what a question, but it's a relevant question. Scripture says we were all appointed to die once and then the judgment. We know for sure each one of us has an appointment in our future. And it takes Scripture, Catechism, and the saints to help us understand the beauty of God's plan and how we can look forward to the judgment as followers of Christ. If you'd like to get a free copy, call 1-800-282-4789 or visit renewalministries.net/FOE.